Today's segment of the McGirt Show Blows Media is sponsored in part by Credit Repair Education Services, celebrating over 18 years of A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau Service. Check them out today at creditservices@outlook.com.
McGirt, host of McGirt Show Global Media on blogtalkradio.com/TheMcGirt. So happy to have us today, Mr. Aaron McLean, who is a motivational speaker and author, all the way from Smithfield, North Carolina. And Mr. Aaron, I want to welcome you to the McGirt Show Global Media, where we focus on empowerment, enrichment, and life for all people all over the world. How are you doing today?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you so much for this amazing welcome, and thank you for allowing me to be on your platform.
You're welcome. It's an honor to have you with us, and we thank you for bringing your positive energy and journey and sharing it with us today. Kind of share with us a little bit about who is Mr. Aaron McLean.
Well, to put Aaron McLean, Mr. Aaron McLean, as you say, in a nutshell,
okay.
In a nutshell, would be I am a leader. I'm definitely a leader, a motivational speaker, not only to the world and to the masses, but to my family. I love to bring forth a spirit of love and peace, and I believe that you start within your family first.
Mm-hmm.
And starting with your family, it allows an amazing aura to move from your family to those that you connect to. So I find myself in a position quite often where those that I'm connected to are either A, we're either having an amazing time because I also love to laugh, and we're laughing and cutting up. yet, the core value of who I am is based upon leadership, it's based upon love, it's based upon family, great morality, and just grateful that I could be on this show.
Yeah.
So that I could expose it to the world.
And we're glad to have you. We're so glad to have you as a guest on the show as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm so happy. And I was very happy, is what I'm trying to say, when I got the invitation. When I got the invitation, oh my God, I was like, what?
Did you think somebody was playing a joke with you at first?
Well, you know, I had to look at it around 3 to 4 times, and when I looked at it, I said, you know what? This is not one of those calls where people call you and then they stop and you hear doop doop.
It's a real deal.
What do you call them calls? Right. You know, this isn't one of those. This is an amazing opportunity. So, again, Ms. Parker, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure and an honor. And thank you for accepting the invitation.
No doubt.
Awesome. We do a thing here on the McGirt Show Global Media called Lemon to Lemonade Moment. And this is how I'm going to ask you this question. Is there any part of your journey in life that if you had the opportunity to go back and redo it all over again, what would it be if you got that? Do you have that, or you're okay with the journey thus far?
I am very much grateful for the journey. I'm very much grateful for the journey. I have a story that I tell a lot of time. When I was a child, I did a lot of child acting, and I went out to auditions for Sister, Sister. I don't know if you know that show.
Yeah. Do it.
And an amazing opportunity that I let fall to the ground, and I let it fall to the ground because I was young. I was 7 years old, and I was really, really young and emotional. And when I saw all of the people, it made me really, really afraid. And I'll never forget, I ran around my mother and hugged her legs, and I looked at her and I said, I can't do it. And sometimes I think and I go back to that moment being a seven-year-old, and I think about what really made me not be able to maximize the potential inside of me to be an extraordinary actor, especially because when I was home, I was all running around and quoting Jim Carrey and singing Michael Jackson songs and doing my thing. So what was it that made my confidence, made my gifts say, I can't do this? And there's times that I think back on that, and I can say that I have somewhat of a immature regret toward that, because I feel that, oh my God, maybe I could have been further along in my career or in what I do as a motivational speaker, yet what it actually does in my mature being and me actually rising above the emotionalism of regret, it shows me that, hey, even in my adult years, when I feel like I can't do something, I have to dig deep into who I am and remember, you were called to be who you are. You were born to be who you are. And if you say you can't do it, that means you are being the opposite of who you are. So it has, even though it was something that I regretted, it was also something that taught me, hey, when you feel feelings of inadequacy, remember, those feelings aren't you. Remember, that capacity to be lesser than you, than who you are, is not the route. That's not the way to go. So I would say that would be a very pivotal moment to me. It was a very pivotal moment that allowed me as an adult, as a mature adult, to remember that when that thing starts whispering in my ear telling me what I can't do, that's not Aaron. That has to be something totally outside of Aaron's scope. You know, so I would have to say that was the lemon that I had to squeeze to turn into this juice called maturity. This good lemonade.
Yes, sir. That's a good way of putting it, because we do that on the show here to let people know that life is going to throw you all kinds of lemons and problems and holdbacks, but you can't let it stop you. You got to keep on going.
That's right.
Keep going. Now, are you the oldest, youngest, middle, baby, child of the group, or are you the only child?
So I have an amazing, interesting story when it comes to my family dynamics. I am the oldest child, and my mother biologically had three children, yet we adopted so many. We adopted, and all of us together comes up to 13.
Okay.
So the okay, most people in their homes, their holiday is Christmas. Our holiday was very much Christmas, yet we also had Valentine's Day.
Okay.
But a huge holiday for us, and we loved each other, kissed each other on the landscape, gifts to each other, and, you know, growing up in my home was fun. We had food fights. We had inspirational moments from my mother and from my grandmother. We had an amazing childhood. Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing. I could sit and think of a thousand reasons to say thank you to God for allowing me to be birthed into the family that I'm birthed in.
I know that's right.
Yes, definitely.
I know that's right. Are you a native of North Carolina, or are you born in another state?
Well, I am born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My family is from North Carolina, and to be specific, my family is from Lumberton, North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Lumberton, yes.
Yes, I belong to a very, very well-known family called the Oxendon family. And the Oxendon family is a huge, lumpy native family throughout the Carolinas and throughout the United States. Nine times out of ten, if their last name is Oxendon, they are my cousin.
Wow.
There are thousands of us. Yes, we have a huge family, and I love each and every one of them, and every time I go somewhere and I find the Oxendon, it's like, oh, wait, you know, what's up, guys, and, you know, and we'll find where the lineage branched off and things of that nature, but the family is so big, it's almost impossible to know everyone.
Let me ask some questions here. There's a gospel group called the McGurk. So, like, what is going on? going on, but that's how it all started.
Wow, you should definitely go out and see if any of your family is there.
I need somebody like you that's strong to go with me to be my backbone. Because you know what? I think our energy is perfect for, like, I'm the media face or something. I can do some of the initial talking, but I got to have that energetic person with me that knows how to set the stage for me to get there. You know how? Sometimes you need somebody to properly introduce you to the type of person. That's
perfect. I'm here.
You are not. I appreciate you so much.
Definitely.
But yeah, I'm gonna send you one of those links where you see. I'm gonna see the very first episode, and because how it got started was. Damon needed somebody to go with him that morning to do, you know how they do it every year? It's the gospel explosion thing they do with the gospel station here in the Stanley area. And what he had volunteered to do, like read his little flyer, remind everybody to get ready, it's coming. And he called me that night before, come out, Damon, what you going? I didn't even want to go. I didn't want to get up out of my bed and on Saturday worry about the church. But what he did, he bribed me. You wanna get up out of the bed real quick, say I paid for the food. Or pay me money. I'll get up so fast.
Oh, that's good. You got up so quick.
I got up so quick. I jumped in the shower so fast, and he goes, what he did, he said, look, he broke it down to me. Because I kept telling him, I said, Daniel, all you gotta do is read the flyer. The people can see you on the radio. But what I had to learn and be considerate of other people's situation. David wasn't like me. He said, Dad, look, I can't do what you do. I've seen you go in a church and have people screaming and hollering off saying a few words. I can't do it. He said, I need you to go with your best friend. If you will go with me to the library and read on this paper, because I'm scared to read off the paper. He said, if you get up, you're going to get yourself up, get ready, I'm going to come pick you up, I'll pay for your brother, you tell me when we get your brother from, I got your brothers, and I'll pay you some money. I said, I'll be ready in about an hour.
I'll be there in a moment.
Yes, sir. I said, just load up on, I'll come back though. He said, I knew that would get you. He said, I'm going to pay you soon as you get in the car, and that's what he did. And then what he did, he read the flyer, like I told him, I said, just read it. Don't get nervous. All you got to do is read the flyer by the WIDU Gospel Explosion Anniversary Celebration. You got it. You don't have to answer the question. Nobody's going to call you and ask you no in-depth question. They may ask you where it's going to be at and what time it starts and how much it costs to get in. You done. But he reminded me, which is true, he said, Darryl, I can't do what you do. I have gone with you places. You don't know the folks in there. They had you get a hair word and they shop. you know, told that whole church all the people in there shop and run around the church.
It's on shit.
Still going. And you ain't took a taste. He said, I can't do what you do. You do it like it ain't nothing.
Right, just
great. Yes, sir. He said, you want off that stage and raise them people and sit down like you want nothing. They're still in there running around. So I can't do what you do. So, you know, when he put it like that, it helped me understand that.
Yeah.
I was making look like of the same. All you got to do, don't you know how to read? I can read off a paper. Many times I can read off a paper. But it wasn't reading off the paper that was bothering him. He didn't like getting up, knowing he got to go all over the county on the radio. He might mess up. So he needed that support. So that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be like Damon to you. Or you like Damon to me. You bring that right ear to them. If I got Aaron with me, we got this.
Oh, we got this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The trail,
yes, sir. We'll be like Bonnie and Clyde. I said, long as I got Clyde with me, I can go.
That's right.
I don't mind being Bonnie.
I don't mind being Clyde.
That's right. Especially, you know, we're going to get paid. Or get paid well. Yes, sir.
I know that's right.
So, yeah, when I get it, as soon as I'm going to see that link, you'll see. Yeah, you see, it's about 10 episodes, but I'm going to see the first one where you see Miss Mary say, he said, my best friend is here, there, he does credit rest. You said, what? Tell him to come in here. Tell him to be here now. Tell your friend to come in. And that's how it all started. Because the lady, Miss Mary, you see her tell me, say, you know what, Miss McGurk, you didn't have long enough time. We don't need you to come back again. And you hear on the video where Rhonda Cole was called in, and she said, Miss Mary, that brother that's talking about the credit pair, he nailed it. He nailed it because I just dealt with a lady the other day, and I told the creditor I don't have the money. She said, you shouldn't have made it lonely. And you can't get, you can't get tomato juice out of a tomato. And the lady, she said, the creditor told her I didn't loan the money to the tomato. So did.
I know that's right.
Yes, she did. And that's how it all started. Miss Mary became my first sponsor. W-I-D-U or L-D-U, they became my first sponsor. And I got to the point where I would drive my car down there myself, because sometimes David was working, so I went by myself. And she would take me out to eat seafood after we finished taping. By credit fair, she found a seafood place over there. We'd go eat and talk and have a ball and come on back to the next time. So that's how it started. And she hit me up on, it was on Facebook. She said, I see you all over the place now. I said, yes, ma'am, all over here in London, England, all over in Ghana, Africa. I hope I'm saying it right. I mean, we're worldwide now for real. Been all in the White House since I've been down to Lombard. But yeah, I think, and I'm not just saying that to be giving you a con game, I think you'd be a perfect person to go with me. We'll make a day out of it. We leave up out of here, roll around and do our little homework on the internet, see these, check out these McGirt businesses. Ain't no telling what colors I might have down there. I don't even know I had down there.
Yeah, and you know, and one thing I say all the time is it's great to seek out your family.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you never know what type of resource that you have in your family.
You better say it. I know my daddy was a rolling stone, so we got kids down in Ghana, in Nigeria, because my dad's in the play.
You're playing no games.
Mm-hmm. He didn't play no games. And I learned that when I was a little kid. Because I found out I got a sister in New York. I ain't never seen her. I don't know what she looked like. Now, the one that's in Georgia, I found them because he married her after he divorced her mom. He got a boy and a girl by her. And I can tell they is because they got that face.
Right. You can see that resemblance.
That DNA is strong, child. He got my baby brother got on big feet, big old shoulders, just like my dad. He big, he bigger than me, but younger than me, but bigger.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And they see me right there and say, hey, little Ivy, they call me little Bobby, little Keith. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute, I'm the oldest. Call me McGirt or something. Y'all like I'm about 5 years old, still call me little Bobby, 50 years old.
They love you, Mr.
McGirt.
They love you.
That's what one of my staff members said. They said, child, they look, you will always be a little child in the eye because you ain't big with me to drive them on big cars. You want to be big daddy, but you can't because you're too little. Because a lot of times when they see me driving a big old town, they say, why you love them big cars? You ain't bigger than me. I believe I was living in Raleigh County. Lord, I come down to Wilson, the city. They said, that's my barber right there, because anybody that's driving on town can't afford to drive on town car but him. That's him right there.
Oh, period.
And I hate to admit it, they was right, because when I had them big old box style town cars, I was so little in the car, the headrest be over my head, almost touching the seat. I had a burgundy 1988 town car that I had bought from somebody. I forgot where I anyway. Walter said, when you come down the floor and eat out with me and Elsa, I would be scared to see how you park that car, that big long hood. I park like it ain't nothing. I saw that bad boy in that park, and not hit nothing with one hand.
I know that's right.
So then, driver. Cross the shield, they cussed them, them preachers about cussing. They said, if you don't put that cross and shield back on their hood, we're not buying no more liquor. They won't play it. Because, see, what it was, those were people that had already bought the old town cars that had the cross and shield.
Right, right.
So if they wanted to get the new, the redesigned town car in there, you just put their cross back on their hood.
That's right.
I'm trying to tell you.
Now, they tell me that Mr. Aaron McClain is also an author.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you share with us what inspired you to do your author work?